All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we're getting a little bit of an early start on the daf this morning, only because of the length. So our pick today's daf is Chaf Aleph 21. So we are picking up on Chaf Amud Beis 20b. We actually left off with Amar Reb Shimon. Amar Reb Shimon, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves, this whole discussion yesterday began with the question of, can an Eved Ivri redeem himself lechatzon? Could he redeem himself partially? In other words, again, when we've spoken about the concept of redemption, so redemption has always been this idea. The Eved was bought for $1,000. He's asked to give the other $1,000 to buy himself out of servitude. Or again, obviously, it's not always $1,000. It could be a prorated $1,000, depending on how many years he has worked. But we always assume that redemption was an all-or-nothing proposal. Now what the Gemara was asking was, is there such a concept of partial redemption? So once the Gemara began talking about that, the Gemara also began talking about other circumstances where there's the option, where there's a redemption option. Can you do partial redemption or not? So here's what we know. We know so far that there's one case where you absolutely cannot do partial redemption, and that's stei achuza. That's ancestral land. So a person sells off a piece of their ancestral land, so the halacha is they have the ability to redeem it, and if they don't redeem it, it actually comes back to them at Yovel anyway. But if they do redeem it, the halacha is they must redeem it in full. There is no such thing as partial redemption. So the Gemara now asked about Bati Arichoma. What about homes in a walled city? So let's remember the laws with the homes in a walled city is that you have the first year after the sale in which to go ahead and redeem it. And if you don't redeem it in that first year, the halacha is it remains with the purchaser. And even during Yovel, it does not return to the seller. So the Gemara says, Amar Reb Shimon, Matam, what's the reason? So we have seen that when someone sells an ancestral field, that the seller has certain power. What's the power? He says, She'im higia Yovel v'lo nikala chozeres labayla. That if Yovel comes and the seller did not yet redeem his field, that the field goes back to its original owner. Horakocho, yet on the other hand, his standing or his powers, his grasp is undermined or is diminished. She'ino lova v'gol v'gol v'chatzon. That he may not borrow money, because remember, also, we saw this yesterday also. Another interesting aspect of stei achuza is that the seller must redeem the field with his own money. He can't redeem the field with borrowed funds. Shina lova v'gol v'gol v'chatzon. So makdish, and furthermore, he can't go ahead and engage in partial redemption. So makdish, when it comes to one who sanctifies his field, shahora kocho, where his, again, his power is diminished, right? His power is compromised. Shimigia yovel v'lo negalal yotzele kohanim. We'll say if a person consecrates a field, so the halacha is he has up until the Shemitah year, the Yovel year, to redeem it. But if he does not do so, it becomes the property of Kohanim. Yafe kocho, so then he must have the advantage, shelova v'goel v'goel achatzon, that he has the ability to go out and borrow money and engage in partial redemption. Now the Gemara says, Hai mocher bayis v'bate arichoma nami holova harakocho. So using this logic, I would say the following. Someone who sells a home in a walled city, where horakocho also means what? That his standing, that his rights are somewhat compromised. How are rights compromised? Shem mala shalo sharmatimim avlo negala nechlat. That if he does not redeem his home within the first year, he loses that opportunity altogether. Yafakocho, he must have the advantage, shelova v'goel v'goel achatzoin, that he's able to borrow money in order to redeem his home, and he can engage in partial redemption. So we'll say, now the Gemara makes the assumption over here the following. Here's the model the Gemara is assuming, that if you have a disadvantage, you must also be given a comparable advantage. So for example, just to illustrate this, so if Bate Arichoma, when it comes to a home in a walled city, the disadvantage is you have a year for redemption, but if you don't exercise that option within a year, you've lost that house forever, and it does not come back to you, even during the Yovel year. Therefore, the corresponding benefit must be that you could redeem your home with borrowed money, and you could redeem it partially. That's the model the Gemara is assuming right now. Seisvei, the Gemara is the kasha. Im Gaol Yigal, if he will redeem it, Malamid, this is talking about somebody who's Makdish, someone who consecrates a field. So if he redeems it, Malamid Shalava Vagal Vagal Lachatzon. This teaches us that if somebody consecrates a field, he has the right to borrow money to redeem it, and he can engage in partial redemption as well. Shiyachol, because I would have thought the following. Valo Dinu, I would have made a Kavachomer. Uma mocher sadeh uza sheyafa kocho shemige yovo v'lo nigala chozeres labaylo. But see, when it comes to a steach uza, that has a benefit. What's the benefit? That if he doesn't redeem the field, and yovel comes, that the field goes back to the original owner. So hora kocho she'in lo lova v'gol v'gol lechatzon. His standing or his rights are diminished because he may not borrow money to redeem the field, nor may he redeem the field partially. I would have said, therefore, makdish, when it comes to someone who consecrates a field, shahora kocho, where his standing, his rights are diminished, shimi giyo yovav lo nigala, yotze lekohanim, that if Yovel comes in and didn't redeem it, the field remains the kohanim. So eno din shahora kocho, shein lova v'gol v'gol lechatzon, then I would have said, we'll say just the opposite. I would have said that where the Torah demonstrates that a particular area in halacha has a compromised standing, I would assume that that compromised standards, compromised rights apply in all cases. And therefore, again, if you're makdish your sadeh, if you consecrate your field, you could go ahead and redeem it up until the yovel. Once until the yovel comes, it becomes the property of kohanim. So you see that there's a compromised aspect to it. I would have said same thing, that you can't go ahead and borrow money to redeem it, nor can you redeem it partially. To which the Gemara says, well, 1 second, malam ocher sadeh shekin horako choligal miyad. So we'll say, but there is another compromised piece of steach uza, and that's what? That you may not redeem an ancestral field immediately. This is actually very interesting. That if you went ahead and you sold an ancestral field, that halacha is, for the first 2 years, you cannot redeem that field. For the first 2 years, that field belongs unequivocally to the person who purchased it. Tomar b'makdish, but if you consecrate a field, you have the right to redeem it immediately. So homes in a walled city will prove this point. Because you have the ability to redeem them immediately. But yet, again, when it comes to Bati Arichoma, you don't have the right to go ahead and borrow money and redeem it, or redeem it partially. To which the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. So also remember, essentially what we have over here is, we're not sure exactly how to structure this model. So we have two models in front of us. Model number one goes like this. That's wherever the Torah says that a particular area in halacha has a compromised facet, or what we call hora kocho, there must be a corresponding like counter benefit. So wherever there's a compromised piece, there must be a benefit. The other model says no. Wherever the Torah demonstrates that a certain area is compromised, that shows that what? If it's compromised in area A, it must be compromised where? In B, C, and D as well. To which the Gemara says, not a kasha. Top of Chafala for both sides, not a kasha. Ha Rabbanon, ha Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say two different opinions. One opinion is reflecting the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the other is Rabbi Shimon. Look at Rashi. Ha Rabbanon. So we'll say, it's interesting, the Rabbanon hold the following. The Rabbanon hold that once the Torah demonstrates that hora kocho, that there are certain compromised areas in a particular subject in the Torah, so we normally assume that if you're compromised in one area, you're compromised in multiple areas. Unless, of course, the Torah explicitly tells me that that is not the case. That's the shita of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, I will say, is the one who's darshinan taima dikra. Rabbi Shimon is the one who darshins the reasoning behind psukim. And Rabbi Shimon understands that the reasoning of the Torah, or the construct, the framework of the Torah, is the following. That wherever there's a chumrah, there's got to be a corresponding kula. Wherever there's a hora kocho, there's got to be a corresponding yafa kocho. Therefore, any time you find that there is a chumrah, so to speak, it's not really a chumrah. Chumrah is the wrong word to understand. It's not a stringency. But whenever you find what the Gemara calls a hora kocho, a situation where there's a weakness in the, to find the right English word.
diminishment?
Yeah, it's advantage. What's advantage? Oh, maybe that's the right word. Advantage and a disadvantage. That's the better word. That's whenever ultimately there's a disadvantage in a particular area, there is also always a corresponding advantage. So the Rav says, that's the machlokes Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says, Vatanya, so Tani Chada, Love of the Goel, the Goel HaChatzon. So we'll say, so one Braisa says that someone who sells his home in a walled city has the ability to borrow money and redeem and engage in partial redemption. Vatanya Idach, another Braisa says, In Love the Goel, the Goel, In Love the Goel, the Goel HaChatzon. Another Braisa says that no, you cannot borrow money and redeem, or redeem and redeem partially. So we'll say, so which one is it? So remember, this is all talking about the same subject, about the Arichomo, homes in a walled city. First Braisa is saying, you can redeem partially and redeem with borrowed money. Second Braisa is saying, you cannot redeem partially and you can redeem with borrowed money. So lo kasha, harabanon harabi shimin. Oh, so we'll say again, so the Rabbanon will be the ones who say that you cannot borrow money or redeem partially, because that's about the Arichoma. And then Rabbi Shimon will be the one who says you can borrow money and redeem or redeem partially. Says the Gemara, let's go by to Bosai. Amri Ravacha, Brei Dravel Ravashi, Ika Lemifrach. I can go ahead and ask Akasha. Over here in the Brei that we spoke about before, Malamocher Bayis about the Arichoma. It was, I mean, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph 21a, six lines down. And I can say the following. Malamocher Bayis about the Arichoma, Shekin Hora Kocha Ligal. What about when it comes to selling a home in a walled city that there is a disadvantage? Why? Shara Kocha Ligal Olam. Well, so what's the disadvantage? The disadvantage is that Lamaisa, the home in Bati Arichoma only has 1 year in which they're able to go ahead and redeem the home. After that, Halacha Lamaisa, again, they can't go ahead and redeem the home. Tomar, b'makdish sheyafe kocho ligoel liolam. When it comes to someone who consecrates his field, he has the ability to go ahead and redeem it forever. But let's say, understand, forever in this context means what? Forever over here means until Yovel. Until Yovel. Amoi Ravacha, Saba, Ravashi, Mishum de'ikala meimar, Nahadir dina. Because I can say that the din could go back to its point of origin. What does that mean? Tisi, the matzad. Let's learn out this halacha with a matzad. I will say matzad essentially is what we call today a common denominator. So what's the matzad? So the Gemara says, Tisi matzad. So on one hand, you have someone who sells his ancestral field. You have the ability to redeem that field up until the Yovel year. And yet, again, you cannot borrow money. You cannot borrow money or engage in partial redemption. So I'll say, so on one hand, you see something that has incredible rights, incredible advantages, namely that you could go ahead and redeem it all the way up until the Yovel year, but yet it has this disadvantage that you may not redeem it with borrowed money, nor may you redeem it partially. Yeah, on the other hand, Malamocher Sadahuza, but yeah, when someone goes ahead and sells an ancestral field, Shekin Hora Kochali Goel Miyat, they will say, what's that halacha? You don't have the right to redeem that field for the first 2 years. Yet, mocher bayis bat the arichom yochiach. Yet, I will say, you could be yet selling a home in a walled city will seem to prove this point, namely, that on one hand, you only have the first year to redeem it, but yet again, redemption could be exercised immediately. The chazra din, lo re'izeh k're'izeh, lo re'izeh k're'izeh. But say, the reality is, they're profoundly dissimilar. All of these cases are dissimilar. If that's the case, Hatsata Shava Shebahin, what is the common denominator? Shenigolin, that they could all be redeemed. Vein Lova Vigoel Vigoel Chatzon. I will say, in all of these cases, redemption is possible, but you may not borrow money for redemption, nor may redemption be done partially. Af Ani Avi Makdish, so to I can bring in the case of one who consecrates his field, Shinigal, which could also be redeemed. Vein Lova Vigol Vigol Chatzon. But you cannot use borrowed money, nor may you redeem it partially. Armali Mazuch Ridrav Durav Mari the Ravino. So Mazuchra, the son of Rav Mari, says Ravino, Ikala Mifrach, you could go ahead and raise a kasha. Mala Tzad Hashava Shebahen, Shekin Hore Kocham Ligoel B'Shana Shnia. So we'll say, oh, the common denominator could be that what? none of them, all of them have the disadvantage that they cannot redeem in year number two. Tomar ben Makdis, so also remember again, in Bate Arichomi, you can't redeem in year number two. Why? Because it's, you're done, your redemption window closed. And in Steachusa, you can't redeem in year number two. Why? Because the halacha is you can't redeem for the first 2 years. But yet, Tomar b'maktish, but yet again, I will say, if somebody goes ahead and was maktish their sada, maktish their land, he does have the ability to redeem his land in the second year. Armali Ravina, mishum de'ika le'meimar, because you could always say the following, that the case of a Jewish servant sold to a Gentile master could prove that this assertion is not true. How so? Sheyafek kocho ligal b'shana shnia. Because on one hand, he could be redeemed or redeem himself in year number two. Ve'ein lova v'gol v'gol l'chatzon. He may not go ahead and redeem himself with borrowed money, nor may he redeem himself partially. So ba'iminei Rav Huna bar Chinana me'rav sheshes. So we'll say, Rav Huna bar Chinana raised the following kasha. Hamocher bayis about the arichoma. So we'll say, so first of all, what we have over here so far is the following. Here's what we do know. Here's what we know. We know that if you sell a steachuza, if you sell ancestral property, the halacha is that you may redeem it immediately up until the yovel, and yovel year it comes to you. And the halacha by steachuza is you may not redeem it partially, nor may you redeem it with borrowed money. So you can't redeem partially, you can't redeem with borrowed money. So that's number one. Number two, makdish your field. If you're makdish your field, you can redeem it immediately. You have that option immediately. And the halacha is, you again may not redeem it partially, nor may you redeem it with borrowed money. The two machlokas cases of Rabosai are homes in a walled city and Eved Ivri. Those are the two machlokes cases. So that you have, again, difference of opinions as to whether or not you could redeem it partially and whether or not you could redeem it with borrowed money. So that's where the Gemara is leaving off for now. So Rav Huna bar Chinana has fine kasha of Rishishas. Hamocher bayis bebat the arichoma. If one sells a home in a walled city, nigal lekrovim or ein nigal lekrovim. Suppose this is an interesting question. So I sell a home in a walled city, and what happens? Now remember, I have one year to redeem that field. So listen to this. So the halacha is, can it be redeemed by relatives or not? Now what do you mean can it be redeemed by relatives? The halacha is, remember, if I sell Reuven my home in a walled city, and I show up, and I show up 3 months later after the sale, and I say, I want to buy back my home. And Reuven says, well, I don't want to sell it back to you. What's the halacha? The halacha is, I could compel the sale. When we say that the seller has the right to buy back his property, that means he has the right to buy back even against the will of the purchaser. Now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Let's say I sold a home in a walled city, but what? I don't have the money to redeem it, but I have a rich uncle, and my uncle decides he wants to redeem it. He knocks on Reuven's door. I want to buy back Silber's home in the walled city. And the seller says, no. Does the relative have the right... Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Does the relative have the right to go ahead and force the sale or the repurchase of the Bate Arich, of the home in the walled city, or not? That's the Shaila. So the Gemara says the following. Gulasa gulasa mis steachuza gamar. Perhaps I can make a gzer shavav gulasa gulasa from steachuza. And I would say the following. Masa de achuza eina nigeles lechatzon. Just like a steachuza cannot be redeemed partially, v'nigeles lekrovim, but it can be redeemed by relatives. Av hainami ein nigeles lechatzon. So to a home in a walled city cannot be redeemed partially, v'nigeles lekrovim, but it can be redeemed by relatives. Otum, or perhaps the other possibility is, ki ksiva geula b'chatzon hu dichsiv. Or perhaps the other idea is that when it says geula, that there should be redemption ultimately again for the home in the walled city, perhaps what that's coming to teach me is not that relatives have the ability to redeem the field, but what? But that ultimately again partial redemption is possible. To which the Gemara says, "Bechatzon hu dichsiv, bekrovim lo ksiv, amrlei ein onigo." So he answered, the halacha Rabbi say is in this halacha lemaisa that a home in a walled city cannot be forcibly redeemed by relatives. The only person who has the right to quote-unquote forcibly redeem. When I say forcibly redeem, it means redeem it against the will of the owner, of the purchaser, is the owner himself. The seller's relatives is the seller himself. The seller's relatives do not have the ability to force the buyback of that home. Ase, where is the kasha? Bakol gu'ula titnu. So the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and proclaim. Uvechol eretz achuzaschem. Gu'ula titnu laretz. And all of the lands of your holdings, you shall redeem a redemption. You shall declare redemption. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, l'rabos batim ve'eved ivri. This comes to include homes as well as an eved ivri. So what does this mean? My lav bate arichoma. Is this not talking about, again, homes in a walled city? And therefore, again, it's saying, No, it's talking about homes in fields, regular homes, we'll say, not homes in walled cities, but regular homes. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, L'rabos batim ve'eved ivri, shiur nigal mikrovim. So we'll say, the Gemara's assumption over here, that when it says, U'b'chol aretz achuzaschem ge'ula titnu baretz, let there be ge'ula, it means all kinds of ge'ula. Even that relatives of the seller should be able to forcibly buy, when I say forcibly, understand, against the will of the purchaser to buy back the land, which tells us home. Now, what is that referring to? The Gemara says referring even to homes. What kind of homes? Presumably homes that are in a walled city, to which the Gemara says, no, it's not homes in a walled city. Rather, it's batei chatzerim, homes that are on a regular field. Batei chatzerim, when it comes to homes on a regular field. Behed yiksiv bahu al sadei ha'aretz yichashiv. Let's say when it comes to homes in regular fields, so those homes are reckoned as part of the field itself. So of course, again, it goes without saying that the relatives could go ahead and force the buyback, to which the Gemara says, Hahu lekova chova. Oh, we'll say it's coming to teach us that in the case of a regular field, if I sell a field and I can't redeem it, my relatives have an obligation to go ahead and try to redeem that field on my behalf. In other words, we both say it's not just a nice thing to do that family does to each other. Rather, what is it? It's mamish, an actual obligation. Va'aliba the Rabbi Eliezer. Disanya v'gaal esmem kar achiv. The pasuk says, he shall redeem that which his brother sold. Rishus. This is optional. We'll say, so this is the pasuk that tells me that if my brother, if my relative sold a piece of land and he cannot redeem the land himself, that I have an obligation to go ahead and do so. Right? So the Gemara says, Rishus. Now it's not really an obligation. What is it? It's an option. Ata omer Rishus, o eino alachova. So you say it's a Rishus, but maybe in reality it's an obligation. Talmud lomar ve'ish, ki lo yihye lo goel. If a man will not have someone, a close relative, a close redeemer, is there ever such a thing about, say, of a person in Klal Yisrael doesn't have a redeemer? First of all, such a beautiful thought. Meaning, is there such a thing as a person in Klal Yisrael who doesn't have a relative? No such thing. Rather, what it means is the following. V'ish ki lo yihye lo goel means someone who has a relative, but what? But the relative does not want to redeem the land. The relative's not interested in this, the Gemara says. And what's the halacha? Sharishus biyado, that the relative has the right to say, listen, I decline this opportunity to go ahead and redeem the field that you sold. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Loza says the following. He says, V'gal es mimkar achiv chova. The pasuk says, he shall redeem his brother's sale. This is not just an option, but rather what? This is an obligation. Ata omer chova o eino alirushus. You say it's obligatory, but maybe it's only optional. Talmud lomar b'chol geula titnu. The pasuk says that with everything there must be redemption. Hakas of kavel chova. Torah establishes an obligation upon the relative to redeem the property of his The Torah obligates the closest relative to redeem the property that was sold by his relative. So the halacha is we actually pass him that it's a rishus, right? That again, if I sell property and I can't redeem that property, that it's a rishus. My relative has the option to go ahead and be a good relative and redeem that property on my behalf, but that is not an obligation to do so. So the Gemara says the following, Amrili Rabban Ravashi, Amrili Rabin Ravashi, Bishlam Lamando Amar, Lerabos Bate Arichoma, Hainu Dixiv Bakol, Elamandam Lerabos Bate Chatzirim, my bikol. So we'll say, so I understand, according to the Man Damu says that it's coming to include homes in a walled city, I understand why the pasuk needs to write uvechol. But according to the one who says that it's coming to include homes on regular fields, what's the bikol? To which the Gemara says, kasha. You know what? That's actually a good question, and we don't have an answer for that question. Why does the pasuk have to say Yigalenu he shall redeem it three different times? L'rabos kol ha'geulos shenegalos k'seder hazeh. To teach us, we'll say that what? That all of redemptions occur in the way we have outlined. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. We'll say Rashi is almost right across. L'rabos kol geulos ha'omdos ligal. That all things that are capable of being redeemed, shehei nigal k'seder hazeh, so we'll say, what the Gemara seems to be saying over is the following. Any time that there is a concept of redemption, that redemption option applies to who? Not just to the seller himself, but who? But to the relatives of the seller as well. Interesting idea. The relatives of the seller have the ability to redeem the land of Rabbah. So when we say redeem, understand what that means. What that means is that they have the ability to force the hand of the purchaser to sell back the property. Up until now, I thought that was just the din in what? In the seller himself. So if I sell my field to Reuven, I could go back and say, Reuven, I'm forcing a buyback. Now they must tell me, not only could I force that, but what? But my cousins and my brother and my uncle and my aunt and everyone else could go out and do that as well. To which the Gemara says, my love, but the arechoma ve'evidivri. Now what cases are we referring to? Are we not referring to cases of a home in a walled city or an evidivri who was sold? Lo, bate chatzere v'sdeachuza. Now we're talking about, again, homes that are on regular fields and regular fields themselves. So, we'll say again, homes that are in our regular field or ancestral field are written explicitly. The pasuk says again, oh, what the pasuk is coming to teach you will say is the following, that the obligation of redemption rests upon the closest relative. Look at Rashi, the karav kodem, tigabes deachuz ekseiv ubago alo akarav elav, v'lo perish karav kodem, ki yachad perish dodo bereisha v'im lo dod ben dodo v'ilad mishar. So therefore the Gemara is teaching me that the repetitive geulah so teaches me that not only does my relative have an obligation to redeem, but who does that obligation devolve upon? The closest relative. And it's only if the closest relative does not want to exercise his redemption option, then what? It goes next. So we'll say, remember again, where's the famous Maisa where we see this? By Rus. Excellent, right? By Rus. So remember again, Rus comes to Boaz, essentially says, marry me. Not essentially, says, marry me. Right? And inherit the portion of my husband. And Boaz says, okay, but there's someone closer. There's a closer relative. So if the closer relative chooses not to exercise his option, then that obligation will devolve upon me. So that's the Gemara saying over here. Whenever there's an obligation for redemption, that always rests with the closest relative. If the closest relative chooses not to exercise that option, then it devolves upon the next one. Hakanami the karav kodem. So the Gemara says, Hecha itmar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Where was Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's statement actually made? So, aha, the bailahu, evet ivrianim karli Yisrael, goal krovim, and on the goal krovim. Well, this is an interesting case. Let's say you have an evet ivri who sold to a Jew. Now, the paradigmatic case of redemption of an evet ivri, of course, is where what? Where he sold to a Gentile master. So the Torah says, if your relative is sold to a Gentile master, you have an obligation to redeem him. What happens if he's sold to a Jew? Is there an obligation upon the relatives to redeem their Jewish, to redeem their relative? So the Gemara says, Aliba de Rebbe loti ba'ilacha. So according to Rebbe, it's not a kasha. Why? Because Rebbe says, the Amar, Mish she'eno nigo be'ila, nigo be'sheish. Because Rebbe says, he who is not redeemed through relatives is redeemed in the sixth year. He goes through in the sixth year. Alma lo mifrak. So also, Rebbe made this statement that whoever is not redeemed by relatives goes out free in the sixth, which indicates to us what? That according to Rebbe, relatives do not redeem a Jewish servant who was sold to a Jewish master. Kiti ba'ilacha, where does the kasha come up? Aliba de Rabbanon. My, what's talacha by the Rabbanon? So the Gemara says, on one hand, yalfinon sechir, v'lo darshi yigalanu. So Rebbe says, I want to, maybe they can learn out the gzir shavah of sechir, and they don't darshin yigalanu. O dilma, yigalanu l'zeh, for lo la'acher. Or perhaps the other possibility is that they are that they darshan the following: yigalenu. Yes, you redeem the eved when do you redeem the eved? When he was sold to an akum, when he was sold to a gentile. But velo yilacher. But if he was sold to a Jew, you do not go ahead and redeem him. So tashma b'chol geula titnu. The pasuk says. So again, understand the Gemara saying zimachlokas. According to Rabbi, again, it's clear that if a Jew is sold to a Jewish master, there is no obligation for redemption on the part of the relatives. On the other hand, according to the Rabbanon, so there is that shayla. So tashma, so bechol geula titnu. So the pasuk says bechol, in everything you shall redeem. Bana on the on bechol eretz. I'm sorry. It's bechol eretz guchuzaschem geula titnu laaretz. So you'll give geula. You'll create redemption throughout the land. The rabbis batim ve'evedivri. This comes to include what? This comes to include homes and a Jewish servant. My love bate arichoma ve'evedivri anim karli Yisrael. So we'll say, does this not come to include homes sold in a walled city? And even a Jew sold to a Jewish master. And therefore, again, the Gemara is saying that what? That a Jew sold to a Jewish master ultimately is what? Is a Jew sold to a Jewish master is redeemed by relatives. Lo, no. Eved Ivri Anim Karla Ovid Kochavim. No, it's talking about, again, a Jew sold to a Gentile master. That's when the Torah says that what? That Lamaisa, you have to go ahead and redeem him. Eved Ivri Anim Karla Ovid Kochavim Behejeksiv. What are you talking about? If a Jewish servant is sold to a Gentile master, that's explicit. That's obvious. Torah says explicitly, O dodo, O ben dodo, yigalenu. Pas says explicitly that a relative has to go ahead and redeem him. Amud beis, hahu lekova chova. Oh, Bos says very interesting. The Gemara is saying the following, that perhaps from the pasuk of ubechol eretz achuzaschem geula titnu laaretz, you learn that what? That even an Eved Ivri, who is sold to a Gentile master, has to be redeemed by relatives. The pasuk of Ododo Ubendodo comes to say what? That it's obligatory. That it's obligatory. It's not an option, but rather, again, it's an obligation. Va'afilu l'Rabbi Yoshua. And this is true even according to Rabbi Yoshua. Rashi says, afilu l'Rabbi Yoshua. Rashi says, da'amar gabe ste'achuza reshus. Rabbi Yoshua is the one who says that by an ancestral field, relatives have the option to redeem, but not the obligation. Even Rabbi Yoshua Bosai, who says that what? That by a steachuza, by an ancestral field that is sold, the relatives have the right to force the buyback, but not the obligation. When a relative is sold to a Gentile master, everyone agrees that the halacha is that what? That the relatives must redeem their relative from captivity. Not captivity, but from servitude. And Abba said, this indeed is halacha lemaisa, that when a Jew is sold to a Gentile master, the relatives have an obligation to go ahead and redeem him. So the Gemara goes, Vaiter Toshma, not Tamud Lomer, Yigalan, 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 Ogimopamim. Why does it say Yigalan, they shall redeem him three times? The rabbos kalagulos, sheneg alos kaseder hazeh. To go ahead and include all of the different redemptions that they are redeemed in this manner. So we'll say, so what does this mean? It seems to be saying again that every single time there's an option for redemption, that relatives have the ability to redeem it as well. So the Gemara says, my love, about the arechom of the Eved Ivri, Hanim Kar Yisrael, we're now talking about again, even homes in a walled city, and even a Jewish servant who is sold to a Jewish master. Lo, that's not what we're talking about batei chaser musteachuza. We're talking about again, homes in on regular fields, and ancestral fields, to which the Gemara says, batei chaser in the hedgeksiv, what are you talking about? Homes on a regular field are written explicitly. Al sadei ha'aretz yichashev. On a nachem ra'yitzchak, the karav kodim. Coming to teach us what Rabbi say, that even though, again, relatives have the ability to go ahead and redeem all of these items, the obligation for a relative's redemption, the obligation for redemption by a relative applies to the closest relative. So not all the relatives are equal. The closest relative has the obligation to redeem, and it's only if he chooses not to exercise his option that what? That the relative after him does so. Fine. So we'll say, so that brings that sugya to a close. V'anirtza nikna beretzia. So what happens? The Mishnah said that, remember, the nirtza is the Eved Ivri who chooses to stay on past his 6 years. So the halacha is that his ear is pierced. They take him to the doorpost, they pierce his ear, and he remains a servant until Yovel. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? So the Nirtza, the Mishnah said, the one whose ear is pierced, he's acquired through Tzia, through the boring of the ear, Dixiv, Viratzadon, Avesazon, because the Pasuk says that his master shall pierce his ear. We'll say, Marzea is literally an awl. He'll pierce his ear with an awl. The Konis Asa ben Yovel Mises Haadon, and he acquires himself again, either through Yovel or through the death of the master, Dixiv, Va'avado. Because the Pasuk says that after the piercing of the ear, the Eved will work for him, Va'avado. The him referring to who? The master. V'lo as Haben, V'lo as Habas. But ultimately, again, not the master's son and not the master's daughter. So if the master dies, the Eved goes free. To which the Gemara says, the Olam says he'll work for him forever. La Olam Moshe Yovel. That refers, not forever doesn't mean really forever, but rather forever means ultimately again until Yovel. Tan Rabbanon Marzea in the Ela Marzea. So Marzea, I know you use an all. Minayin the Rabbos, Hasol, Vasira, Vamachat, Vamikadeach, Vamachas, Vamichtav. How do we know that it comes to include? Sol Rabbosa is a peg, Sira is a thorn. Machat is a thorn. Machat is a needle. Mikadeach again is also some type of boring instrument. And mechaseif is a stylus. So how do I know again that I can use all of these other items as well? Talmudomer v'lakachta. Therefore, the pasuk says you shall take l'rabos kol davar shenikach piyad divrei Rabbi Yosi comes to include all things that I could pick up with my hand. So the Rabbi says, Rabbi says, no, just like Marzea, just like an awl is unique in that it's made of metal. Af kol shalmatechas, so too you could pierce the ear with any item made of metal. Davar acher, hamartzea, lahavi hamartzea hagadol. This comes to include a large awl. For the Rabbis say they darshan that when they pierce, it's actually a very important halacha, when they pierce the ear of the Eved, what do they pierce? They pierce the lobe. The Chachamim say, Ein Eved Ivri Koinir. For the Rabbis say, the Chachamim said, this is actually very interesting, that an Eved Ivri Koin, right? So an Eved Ivri who is a Koin does not get his ear pierced. Why? Because the piercing will make him a Baal Mum, will give him a blemish, and ultimately, again, will prevent it from doing the Avodah. Ve'im Tomar, but one second. If you're going to say Bamil Seim Rotzim, if you want to say that they pierce the lobe, Heich Eved Ivri Koin Yaseh Ba'amum. We'll say, remember, you only become Ba'amum if what? If Lamaisa, again, you go ahead and you pierce, if you do something that will not heal. So if you pierce the lobe grows back. It must be that what are they piercing? Must be they're piercing the cartilage of the ear. Because that, if you pierce it, won't grow back. And then I understand, Lamais, bless you. Then I understand, Lamais, again, why we would say that you wouldn't do this to an Eved Ivri Kohen, because you'd be making him into a Baal Mum. Ha in nirtze ala begobu sholzen. It must be that what? That you're piercing the cartilage of the ear, the top part of the ear, and not the lobe. So the Gbemaika Meflagi. So what are they arguing about? The Rebbe Darish Klali Uprati. So Rebbe, see, here's the final Machlokas. So they're arguing about how to dash in the Psukim. Rebbe Darshan's Klal Uprat. So what do we say? V'lakachta, you shall take klal. That's a general statement. Marzea, the all prat. That's a limiting statement or that specific statement. Ba'az no ubadeles, you'll pierce him by the ear in the door. Chazer v'klal, that's another klal. So what do you see from here? Klalu pratu klal. Let's say you have a general statement or a general statement, a specific statement, and a general statement again. Iatadon elakina prat. You can only darshan like the prat ma prat mefurash shalmateches. So just like the specific item mentioned over here is an item made of metal, an instrument made of metal. Af kol shalmateches. So too, you can use any instrument. Excuse me. For the piercing of the ear, as long as what? As long as what? As long as it's made of metal. Rabbi Yosi darshi riboy umiute. Rabbi Yosi darshins a riboy and a miute. So I will say riboy is something, an inclusive statement. Miute is an exclusionary statement. So the Gemara says, v'lakachta, you shall take riba, that's a ribui. Marzea, the all, miate, that's exclusionary. Ba'azna ubadalas, by his ear by the door. So chazav riba, that's an inclusionary statement again. Riba umiate v'riba, riba hakol. So whenever you have a ribui, a miate, and a riba, that comes to include everything. So my rabbi, so what does it come to include? Rabbi kol mili, comes to include that you could pierce the ear with anything that's sharp. My miate, where does it come to exclude? Miet sam. It comes to global say sam literally means if you have some type of corrosive liquid. So acid. Let's say, you cannot bore a hole through his ear with acid. It does have to be an instrument. Amar Mar, Hamartzea, Lahavi Martzea, Godol. So remember again, the Mar said that Hamartzea, teaching that I could even use a large awl. I could even pierce his ear with a large awl. My Mashmas, what do we learn that from? Kido Amarava, Hayarech, Hayarech. So what's the pasuk is talking about the following? It's by Gid Hanosha. So the Torah says, "Akin lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael say Gid Hanosha asher kaf hayarech." So what does it say? That's on the thigh. So what does it mean? Hayarech hamiyumenes shebiyarech. This refers to the distinguished part of the thigh. The Gid Hanosha hachenami hamartzea. What does hamartzea mean? Miyuchad shemratzin. It refers to the unique item which they used to bore holes, namely, again, the large marzeh. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, what comes out from this is, first of all, again, we paskin that when you pierce the ear of the Eved, they're not piercing the lobe. We actually pierce the cartilage. And that's why, again, we actually paskin that a Kohen Balmum a Kohen Eved Ivri does not get his ear pierced for Avdus, because we're going to see why you can't render him a Balmum. And furthermore, halacha l'maisa, we paskin that any object could go ahead and be used to go ahead and bore a hole in the ear, as long as it's what we call davar nikach biyad, as long as something that can be held in the hand. Rebbe Lazar said, Yudan Beribi Hayadorish. So Yudan Beribi used to dash in the following thing. Keshein Rotzin in Rotzin Ela Bemilsa. When they would go ahead and pierce the ear of the Eved, they would only pierce him in the lobe. The Chum says, and every Kohen hears the nation asa balmum. But yet the Chum said that, no, you can't pierce the ear of an Eved every Kohen, because then you make him a balmum, you make him blemished. So Gemara says, I've yasa balmum, who cares? Who cares? Make him a balmum. Why does that matter to us? You almost say, you get yourself into a circumstance, so he'll become a balmum. Amar Rabbi Rashil, Amar Kra, Bishav al Mishpachto. But it's actually quite amazing, because the pasuk says that after servitude, the Eved must be able to go back to his family. L'muchzak shev mishpachto. If you understand that, again, he has to go back to the best of his family. In other words, that l'maisa, again, the Eved Ivri has to be able to go back and resume his life as it was before. Therefore, if he's a Kohen, he still has to be qualified to be able to do the avoda. Therefore, we do not pierce his ear. Ibayilu, we ask the kasha, Eved Ivri Kohen, fascinating shayla. So now that we've established that, by the way, an Eved Ivri Kohen is treated a little bit differently, because Lamaisa, again, he needs to be able to go back to resume to being a Kohen after his servitude is over. So here's the interesting shayla. Is the master permitted to give the Eved Ivri Kohen a Shifcha Kinanis, a Gentile maidservant, to have children with? Is he permitted to do that? So on one hand, do we say Chidishu, listen, that whole thing is a chiddush to begin with. That a master could go ahead and give his Jewish servant a non-Jewish woman with whom to have children with, so that the Adon has additional servants. That's a big chiddush. So since it's a chiddush anyway, it applies to Yisraelim and Kohanim equally. Oh, Dilma, shiny Kohanim, hol v'riba, v'hen, akasim, it's Yisraelim. On the other hand, maybe Kohanim are different. Maybe Kohanim have an elevated level of Kiddusha, since we already know they have additional women. So it's therefore they're treated differently. And maybe they cannot, a master cannot give his Eved Ivri Kohen a Shifcha with whom to procreate with. Rav Amar Mutter, so Rav says it's permitted. Ushmuel Amar Aser, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says it's Aser. Amli Rav Nachman, Rav Anan. So Zilzabal says, Rav Nachman says Rav Anan. Kia Visu Be Mar Shmuel. When you were in the yeshiva of Shmuel, Be'is Kum Dari Italtalisu. It appears that you are playing cards. Listen to that. What does that mean? He was giving him a shtach. It's clear to me that you did not pay attention in yeshiva. Why not? My time alo simule meha. Why don't you say from the following? Bechamro ein evet ivri koin nirtza. There's a very simple raya that Shmuel. What did Chum say? The Chum said that you can't go ahead and pierce the ear of an Eved Ivri Kohen. Why? Because you're both saying, remember what happens? Because if you pierce it, it becomes a Balmum. Now watch this. Vim Tomar Ein Rabo Mosilo Shifcha Kinanis. Now watch this. You're both saying, if you hold that the master is not permitted to give the Eved Ivri Kohen a Shifcha Kinanis, then there's a very simple reason why he cannot stay on, which is why, because in order to stay on, what does he have to say? Seifokle deba'ina ahavti es Adoni ve'es ishti ve'es banai ve'leka. But let's remember again, in order for him to stay, interesting enough, the way the Gemara's understanding this, in order for him to stay, he has to say, I love my wife and I love my kids. I will say, which wife is he referring to? He's not referring to his Jewish wife. He's not referring to his Jewish children because they come out with him as, he's talking about who? His Gentile wife and his Gentile children. So you see that that is a prerequisite for staying on. So watch, so look, the Gemara says over here is, the whole reason the Gemara said, I mean, when the Gemara was talking about the ability of a Kohen to stay on, it seemed to be he couldn't stay on. Why? Because he couldn't get his ear pierced. Why not? Because that makes him a Baal. Makes him a Baal Mum. To which the Gemara now is saying, but Shmuel, if you're right, that you can't give an Eved Ivri Kohen, a Gentile woman with whom to procreate with, then that's why he can't stay on. Then the issue of piercing never even comes up. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Veleka, Su Lomidi, and there's nothing else to talk about. Rashi says, Su Lomidi, Ein Lohashav Alzos. This is a good kasha. Meaning they asked the good kasha on the sheet of Shmuel, and essentially, again, refute the sheet of Shmuel. And I will say, indeed, Taloch is Raman Paskins, that a master is permitted to give the Eved Ivri Kohen a Shifcha with whom to procreate with. Again, as we saw yesterday, the ability for a master to give his servant the Shifcha only applies when the Eved himself is already married, right? He has to be married and have children of his own, or at least be married, and be married to a Jewish woman. But the Maisa, again, an Adon is permitted to give a Shifcha even to his Eved Ivri Kohen. And that's why, again, the only reason the Eved Ivri Kohen can stay on is because he can't have his ear pierced, because that would make him a Baal Mum. Once you got into this line of discussion, they might ask another interesting question. Kohen Mahubi Fas Toar. So what's another interesting question? What about Ifas Torah? Ifas Torah is the war bride, right? He says to the Muhammad, V'ra'isa ish Ifas Torah b'shivyo v'shavisa shivyo. Pasuk says, you're going to go out to war, you're going to see a beautiful woman, and the Torah gives us an incredible, incredible dispensation from the normal laws that we have, which is that the Jewish soldier is permitted to have relations with this woman. So is a Kohen permitted in the war bride or not? So on one hand, I could say chiddush lo shnak v'lo yisrael. On one hand, I could say it's a chiddush, and therefore, because it's a chiddush, I will say what? It doesn't make a difference. Meaning, once it's a chiddush, it applies to everyone. Oh, Dilma, shiny kohanim hov riba ba'emisos. On the other hand, maybe kohanim are different. Kohanim occupy an exalted level, a higher level of kiddusha, and therefore, perhaps again, they're not permitted in yifas toar. Rav Amar Mutar, Rav says a kohen is permitted to have Yifas Torah. So what that means is, again, remember, Yifas Torah means over here that he's permitted to take this Gentile woman. And Shmuel says Aser. Shmuel says that it's Aser. So listen to this. Babia Rishona, the Kuli Amalo Plegidish Shari, the Lo Dibra Torah, Elekinege Yetara. So what's the listeners? Remember, Yifas Torah is divided up into two parts. There's what's called the Bia Rishona. Bia Rishona is the first ability, and according to most opinions, this is even during wartime, to actually have relations with her. So everyone agrees that a Kohen is permitted to do that. Why? Because they both say the whole notion of that concept is Dibra Torah Kenege Yitzhara. Torah essentially said, knows that the soldier is going to do this anyway. Because again, during wartime, passions are at a high. And again, the Sefer HaKinuch also brings down that it was customary during wartime among the Gentile nations that the women would dress up to look very beautiful. This way, again, they were hedging their bets. If their husbands came home and they were victorious, wonderful. But if they were conquered, then ultimately, again, they would be able to get in good with the conquering army. So since already Dibra Torah Kenege Yetzirah, Torah is giving this dispensation because, again, it's an allowance for the Yetzirah. So therefore, what does it make a difference? Kohen or not Kohen? Ki pligi bebiya shnia. Rabosai, the shaila then is, what about the second bia? Now the assumption is that the second bia, Rashi says, is kvar niskarer rucho. His initial passions have already been satisfied. So what about the bia shnia? Rav amar mutar. Rav says it's permitted. Shmuel amar asr. Shmuel says it's asr. Rav amar mutar. Hov ishtaria ishtari. Rav says mutar because once it's been permitted, it's permitted. In other words, once bia rishon is permitted, bia shnia is permitted as well. Shmuel says, no, it's not permitted. Daha amar asr. Shmuel says is another shuvi. I will say, Bia Shnia only takes place when? Only takes place when? After she's undergone the process of conversion. Well, once she's undergone the process of conversion, she's a Giores. Once she's a Gioresh, she is Aser ultimately again to the Kohen. Ika de Amri, others say, but Bia Shnia kuli amalo pligi da Asira. Others say that no, by Bia Shnia, everyone agrees that she's Aser. Dahavya la gyores. Because I will say again, she's a convert already at that point in time. Ki pligi, where do they argue? The Bia Rishona, when it comes to Bia Rishona. Rav Amar Mutter, Rav says the Bia Rishona is Mutter. Why? Because the Torah ultimately is only, because I will say, remember, that's an allowance for the Yitzhara. So the Kohen has the same Yitzhara as every other man. Ushmuel, Amar Shmuel says, Aser, Kol Hecha, the Karina Bey, Vavay Satoch, Vesecha, Karina Bey, Vara Isa, Beshivya. Or I want to say, Shmuel is an interesting limud. Because Shmuel says that what? That Alokha Lamay say again, wherever you could apply to this woman that you bring her into your home. In other words, wherever marriage is an ultimate possibility, then there's an allowance to take her during wartime. However, but wherever marriage is not a possibility, then what? Lo karina bay vera isa bashivya. Then under those circumstances, what Rabbah said, under those circumstances, you cannot go ahead and take her during wartime. So also it's a fundamental machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So I'll say, so again, Aloch lemaisa, again, it seems to be the way we paskin like this, the Raman paskins, is that a Kohen is in fact permitted by Yifas Tohar. Kohen is permitted, again, to take the war bride as well, in order to have relations with her during wartime. But Lamaisa, again, the way we paskin is, that's only by Bia Rishona, it's not by Bia Shnia. Because again, remember, by Bia Shnia, the way this process plays out is how? She's already a Gioris by Bia Shnia. And again, a Kohen is ultimately prohibited in a Gioris. We'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short idea on the Parsha.